Ready, set?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. You all know me. Broadcasting from the from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Yes, we are. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that Aaron Flores has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, fast forward to the trailhead on a bus.
That's right. We're here with Renee from Friends of the Gorge. Hello.
Hello.
And how are you?
Great. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
So most people that we have in come from somewhere in Portland, but you actually came from the place that we're going to be talking about later on. So
I did.
It's a longer haul. Thank you for making the trek in.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful country out there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. This is an amazing place to be so close to an urban area.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that Richard, I hope it's okay if I say this, he's coming to Portland.
Oh, my gosh.
Donor Richard wrote in and said, hey, where should I go when I come to Portland with my wife? And one of the places I said was go to the Gorge because it's a reasonably close drive and there's some beautiful things to see out there.
Look, man, Multnomah Falls is a tourist attraction for a reason.
That's right. Yeah. And don't tell anybody, but there's some cool stuff on the Washington side, too. So anyways, Renee does a bunch of work with Friends of the Gorge. It's Friends of the Gorge, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Friends of the Columbia Gorge.
Friends of the Columbia Gorge.
Not just any gorge.
No, the Columbia, the great.
Friends of a specific gorge. And we'll be talking with you in just a couple minutes about all of that. So thank you again for coming in. Okay. And you brought beers in hand, which so nice of you.
I did. I feel a little bad that they're not gorge beers, but we've got some Dogfish Head today.
That's exciting. Today. Yeah. I have not had. This is the 60-Minute IPA, which someone recommended to me as the best IPA in the world.
That's what they say.
Right.
It's a sprinkling of the hops for 60 minutes.
And you can't beat that.
How is that? So is that like different than the regular way they do it?
It is, yeah. Normally they just add all the hops at one time, but they decided to sprinkle them throughout a 60-minute process that supposedly makes this magical liquid.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Instead of just dumping them in there.
Right.
It's done with finesse. It's done artisanally.
Okay. Well, it's got to be good, though.
That's right, yeah. And I'm also enjoying an Elliott IPA at the moment, which we found at our sponsor down the street, the Beer Mongers.
Yeah.
Southeast Division and 12th.
And 12th.
Yeah. It's a good place to go. I was asking Andrew there at the bar what he does to stay awake. And he said sometimes coffee, sometimes mate, sometimes green tea. If he has to work, but he also feels tired.
Especially green tea and mate. He
right.
Says you get the alertness without the jittery of
no
coffee.
Jitters, yeah. I've also heard that if you eat an apple. Oh, and you've got something over there with a really stubborn cap.
It doesn't want to open.
There we go.
Wow.
I was hoping that wouldn't be the sound of our new computer being inundated with liquid.
Well, that's why I had to put it on the table. I was afraid, like, once I finally got the leverage to pry the thing off, like, I was going to, toss. This is a new thing called Spuma.
Spuma.
And the label is all in Italian. So it's the same people who had the one titled Cola last time.
Right. And it's 25DE. On the back, it says. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
I don't know what that means.
If that's some...
No, that's C-L and then an E.
Oh, C-L-E.
I don't know.
I have no idea what that means.
It contains 0 grassi and 12 carbohydrati.
Okay.
Zuccheri.
So grease and carbohydrates and...
And sugar.
Okay.
Zuccheri.
Oh, sure. Excellent.
0 sale, which I would guess is sodium.
No salad.
No salad in here.
Okay. And we don't know what flavor this is. This is just a soda.
It's, I don't know.
From the look on your face, you don't know what flavor it is either.
No. It's got a weird malty taste to it.
Is it pleasant or is it,
It's subtle.
Okay.
So it's not like overwhelming. Like
those are the best terms we can put to this flavor.
Do you remember, I think it was Allison Hilkiah when she was kind of observing our show, she had like this malt drink.
Oh, I think so.
And I didn't try it on the air, but I tried it later on, and it was very awful.
Okay.
It was like this heavy malt.
Ah. Was it like so the, what's
it's that? It's kind of like this, only a lot more on the sparkling water side of
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Is it Maltagoya? Is that other beverage that's also kind of malt flavored? But it not,
sounds right.
But it's not beer.
No, it's not. No. And
which means it's not good.
Why would you drink malt otherwise?
That's what I want to say. You know, outside in the hallway, there's an open steel reserve, a 12-ounce steel reserve, which ooh. I didn't know they made them in that size.
That's right.
Which should makes be. Me wonder if there's like a six-pack of steel reserve out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's lurking in the shadows.
So I just assumed someone. Like that they made them that small.
But usually, I mean, when not, I buy steel so reserve, much. Yeah, usually it comes in a 24-ounce can or something. So I don't know. It's very strange. Also, I don't think it's supposed to be there. I don't know why.
It's not.
I don't know why there's an open can.
Did we just like narc out somebody on the IPRC?
Now that you mentioned where it was, perhaps.
Oh, shit.
But I am.
I mean, it's.
I'm concerned.
Elsewhere.
Yes. It's something that makes me nervous about the state of the organization. It's all good.
Well, so here's the story I put behind that. As we find this, it's mostly full.
Yes.
Would you say?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So like someone opened it up, took one sip.
Someone opened it. Yeah. Went to drink it. And someone's like, the other, whoever the powers that be is like, you're not supposed to have that.
And they left it immediately in the bussing tray.
Okay. So yeah.
With the dirty dishes.
Without anywhere else to put it, I guess. Without any creativity. They walk into the office where like the garbage cans are.
Mm, yeah.
And like, well, we can't put this in this one. We can't put this in this one. I'll just put it with the dirty dishes.
You know, I consider myself a creative person and I would have put it down my throat. I would have just swallowed the whole thing instantaneously.
Yeah.
Just like someone might have done with some mezcal at some point or another.
Someone might have.
Right.
I don't know who.
We don't. Speaking of mezcal, you were in Mexico.
I was.
You saw something interesting.
I have one last story to share about Mexico. I'll probably think of another one for next week. But so you guys were hanging around the house and you were whistling, or maybe Adele was whistling the X-Files theme song.
Yes.
And that sort of whistle melody part to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just similar enough to another tune that it like sparked this whole sense memory flashback for me.
Yeah.
And then I had to like tell you guys this story that, or this thing that I experienced.
Oh wait, sorry. That wasn't the X-Files theme. That was something else.
Right. Right.
My
but
bad.
It was just similar to something else. Anyways.
It sounded like the X-Files theme almost.
It was well, what you whistled was like, you know, distinct enough so that you didn't have to pay, you know.
That's
Fox,
right. Yes.
20th Century Fox.
I think now we owe money to the person that wrote the theme for Mockingjay.
So,
these games
not,
are making
they're
me
not
hungry.
Hurting for it.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, going on. So I'm at this really nice restaurant.
Really nice. How nice?
Very nice.
Yeah? This place where people order big steaks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a place where you kind of got to wear a button-up shirt at least.
Is it beyond the limit of A1 steak sauce?
Yes.
Okay.
It should be anyways.
Okay. Gotcha.
But anyways, we're at this really nice restaurant in Mexico City. There's a chain of restaurants called Sanborns. And this one was like the first one. And so it's like really nice. It's really high vaulted ceilings. And I'm having dinner with Anna and her dad.
What did you have for dinner?
God. Oh, I had chile relleno.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's one of your favorites.
It is.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, right.
You take a pepper and you batter it, and then you just deep fry it.
You can get that in a burrito over here at Los Gorditos. Just across the intersection from the Beer Mongers.
You can go get your
at Southeast Division
chile relleno burrito and then bring it over to the Beer Mongers.
It's true, yeah.
You can have a burrito and a beer at the same time.
That's right. They don't care.
No.
They encourage you, in fact, to bring your food in, because then you want a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
You should tell them the Sprocket Podcast sent you.
So anyways,
I'm at
Sanborns.
You had chili rellenos.
Yes. And, like, maybe as close as this far wall is to
okay.
me.
Okay, like so, 8 feet?
Yeah, 8 to 10 feet away from me. Right in my sight line is this other table. And you have the matriarch and the patriarch kind of sitting across from each other. And then between them on either side is what I would assume to be their sons.
Okay.
Maybe.
They look like they're related?
They do. Yeah. Two of them, kind of burly fellas, one older than the other. Leather jackets, tattoos, hair greased back.
Kind of tough looking.
Pretty tough looking.
Okay. Like you wouldn't want to meet them in a dark alleyway.
I might shake their hands in a dark alleyway.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then...
You might be very friendly to them in a dark alleyway.
Yes, I would probably be overly friendly to them in a dark alleyway.
Just so no one took anything the wrong way.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the third son was like kind of wiry looking, button-up shirt, glasses.
Okay.
Hair still slicked back.
Dressed for business.
Generally, like a lot of people use hair gel over there, by the way.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Their hair gel game is on point.
Would I fit in?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Not that my hair gel
your
game
hair,
is on point tonight,
your hair
but...
fits in way better than mine would.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
I almost missed the mohawk.
Yeah,
that's how on point everybody's hair gel game was.
That would have, yeah, it would have. You would have stuck out, right? You would have been distinctive.
I would have stuck out, but I think I stuck out more by not putting anything in my hair.
Ah,
by like not having a hairstyle.
You looked very American.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyways, I couldn't help but staring at these people because they're like leaning in. They're talking very intensely to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you
finally,
think they were talking about?
Well, finally, Anna's like, what is your problem? Why are you staring at these people?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I think these people are having a family meeting of some sort.
Yeah.
And Sunday. Like Anna's
dinner.
Dad looks over and yeah, it was a Sunday. Actually.
Yeah.
And
it's when
like,
families get together.
He's like, yeah, they all look like they're related to each other. And I'm like, no, they're having a family meeting. This is like Cosa Nostra kind of thing going on here.
It's a nice haircut.
Yes.
Be a shame if something happened to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is a nice restaurant here.
Right. Now we can offer you protection.
But also in this restaurant is a piano. And,
uh-huh.
And like they have a dude hired to play piano.
A guy
there.
Who
and
does,
like,
yeah, he
you
does
know,
that
the, thing. The stereotypical like giant brandy glass that people throw dollars and pesos. Like
okay.
There's actual American currency in there too.
Right. It's a big melting pot of currency.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mexico City is way more of an international city than any other city I've been to.
Than Portland?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so I can't help but staring at these people. And then the piano guy is playing and then like does these just kind of warm up chords for a second.
Yeah.
And then goes into, I shit you not, the theme song to The Godfather. And I start freaking out. I'm like, we got to get out of here.
We got to go. Leave your food.
Just throw some cash on the table and go. Something's going to go down. Anna's dead. Never one to miss a beat is like, oh, yeah, didn't you see the people come in with the violin cases? I'm like, no, go, get out.
I'm glad you made it home.
Yes,
I'm
me
glad
too.
You're here. Yes.
I'm sure they saw me staring at them.
Yeah, they're listening to the show right now.
Yeah, probably.
I would imagine. There might be one inside the soundboard.
They figured me out. They
yeah.
figured me out.
Mm-hmm. well done, sir. Well done. The other thing we should mention is that you're looking for a place to move to.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're living with me right now.
I am.
But I have to kick you out in a month. Not because I want
during to. During the short month, even.
I know, right? See, that's the... Oh, man, you got gypped.
I did.
It's the the 29-day month. It is a leap year.
Oh.
So you're getting more days in February than you usually would.
All right.
Working the system. But
the four-year system.
That's right. But you're looking for a nice set of housemates.
Yeah.
Preferably someone who doesn't smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah, I don't know how to say this like without
just
sounding divisive.
Pot smells terrible.
It smells like shit.
I don't
I'm
care
sorry.
If you do it or not. I don't like the smell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go and do it. Just do it outside or in another place. I know, like, this is probably, like, that's another mark on my Portland. Yeah, go, there, let me, look, If you want to smoke your weed outdoors, okay? It smells terrible and it gets in everything.
There we go.
Everything.
That's right.
And that's the thing is like,
yeah,
I want to be cool to everybody.
Do you? If all your friends.
Maybe I don't.
We're going to jump
problem.
Off of a bridge.
I need to just finally admit to myself, I'm not going to be cool.
They're playing with scissors and matches on the freeway, and they're about to jump off the Markham Bridge into the Columbia River. Not the Willamette River, the Columbia River. It's a long jump.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If all your friends were doing that, would you?
Well, yeah, because then I'd have no friends.
No, say hell no, you would not.
Oh, I mean, no, I wouldn't.
That's right.
I'm not
be your
a
own
conformist.
Person. Be an individual. So, anyways. all that to say, Aaron's looking for a housemate. So
yeah.
if you have a place and you happen to be within the sound of our voice, you know.
I'm not moving to Jacksonville, John McKay. Thank you.
He would let you move in advance, for free, I know. Yeah.
Thank you in advance, sir. But
you like Portland too much.
Way too much.
Yeah.
That's probably half my problem.
Right. Well, isn't it for all of us?
Yes.
Yeah. So I got to climb 3,200 feet this
3,200.
Last weekend. Wow. I climbed to the top of, not climbed. I mean, I climbed on a bicycle up some roads.
You rode up.
Yeah. But Nansen Summit is this little peak that I'd never really known existed.
The wall.
The wall is what it's called on Strava. But yes, I'm using Strava. Yes, I used to make fun of it.
You came home.
Shut up, everybody.
You came home and you said, I've got to eat some more crow.
Well, yeah.
Because this Strava is goddamn useful.
Well, so this the app is not bloaty like that other app that I used to use, the name of which I can't remember.
The one where you mapped your ride?
Yes, I can't remember what they called it.
The name of that app either.
But yes, Strava works very well. And so I went to test it out and see where I could go. Nansen Summit is like right on the edge of Portland and Lake Oswego. So I biked through austerity and it was very painful. And there's a nice
Was the ride painful or the fact that you're going through austerity painful?
One compounded by the other.
Ah, I see.
But the peak was super tall. Like you get up there and it's really beautiful. It was a cloudy day, so I didn't get to see a lot of views, but I wanted to do this ride again when it's sunny out.
Oh, I bet it'd be
great. Yeah, because I think it's better than Council Crest. Like there,
you can really?
See everything. Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it's taller than Council Crest, but it's not in Portland.
You're kind of selling me on this, except for the, well, I mean, how many miles did you end up riding?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. I'd have to go back and look at my stats, which are all compiled by a nice little computer somewhere in the cloud. But
what's your power meter say?
I was very powerful. I will say that. But I went to Nansen Summit, and then I rode down through Lake Oswego, and I made my way through Oregon City. And on my way, I was going to climb up Mount Scott on the east side of town because it's another huge peak. And I was like, I could use some exercise. I got to the top of, I didn't get to the top. I got to Oregon City and I'm making my way north and there's this big crowd of people, a whole peloton of Lycra-clad bicycle
riders.
Oh,
this was on your way home.
Yeah, okay. On my way back north. So I'm on my way to climb the second big peak on the other side of town. And there's all these guys in Lycra that look like they've been out for a long ride and they're kind of ambling slowly. So I'm trying to pass them on this path. You know, it's really narrow and there's like 30 of them or something. And so I'm making my way carefully past them as I pass them on the path. And someone says, "Hey, it's Brock." I said, "Who's that?" It turned out it was Peter Kuntz.
Oh, nice.
Nice guy. Yeah. Good to see him. And right after that, I got a flat. Maybe that's my penance for trying to pass them all. Who knows?
Which Peter Kuntz tweeted at you, "Cheaters be cheating."
That's right, yes. Yeah, it was the only. He said it was the only way he could stay ahead of me.
That's right. Yeah,
so there we go. But I did find black bean dip on the closeout rack.
Oh.
Like $1.50.
Nice.
That's why I bought all the chips.
Okay. But the bean dip didn't make it
into
the house.
No, I ate all the bean dip.
I didn't know you found the bean dip.
I ate about 500 calories worth of bean dip.
That's why we ride. That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, that was it. I think that's everything that happened to me that was interesting. I am thinking about trying to replace my iPhone's battery on my own.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just because, you know, it's a thing you can do.
I did it to my iPod that I had before this current one.
Okay.
And it worked for maybe another week after that. Yeah. So
choose very carefully how you...
You know, that might just be the coincidence, though.
Like, who knows?
Or it could be operator error.
Like I saw Peter Kuntz, and then I got a tack in my tire.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That could just very well have been coincidence.
Could have been a coincidence. Well, we brought you in, Renee, to talk about some interesting things about outdoor recreation in the Gorge. You live in Skamania County, and many people probably don't know where that is. The first thing I like to mention when I think of Skamania County is that the county has a law on the books that it's illegal to shoot the Bigfoot. If you see Sasquatch, you can't kill it.
That's really funny that you brought that up.
Yeah?
Because
did you shoot Sasquatch?
No, but I was talking about it today.
Oh, really?
You were talking about shooting Sasquatch?
No, that we can't shoot Sasquatch in Skamania County. We were. I was actually hiking the Hamilton Mountain Trail this morning, and there was nobody else on the trail, and it's just this, you know, magical forest right now. And I said to my son, what would you do if we saw Sasquatch all of a sudden? And he said, I'd shoot it. And I go, well, you can't. You'd go to prison.
It's true. It's a manslaughter clause, right?
That's right.
And I think my idea for that is that if someone is out there in a suit and they're running around and they're trying to pretend they're Sasquatch and someone shoots them, that is manslaughter. So,
yeah. I thought about that. Absolutely. It is a Sasquatch refuge out there. So, yes, I do. I live in Skamania County. And
any Sasquatches in our listening area?
Oh,
that's
welcome
right.
to Skamania County.
You're safe. You'll
be safe
here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're welcome here, forest protectors.
So, Skamania, in relation to Portland, is just across the river in Washington State on the north side of the Columbia River and just east of the Vancouver area. Vancouver, Washington, which is the other Vancouver.
That's right.
But yeah, it's one of my favorite destinations. I spent a lot of time. My earliest years in the Portland area were actually in the Vancouver city limits. I lived there for a while, and a lot of my favorite hikes were out in the gorge. Because, like you were saying, Hamilton Mountain is one of the ones that's great. It's a state park, I believe, Washington State Park.
That's right,
and
Beacon Rock State Park.
Yeah. So you got Beacon Rock, which visible in the Mel Gibson vehicle Maverick from 1993, I think.
Right. And we have a new neighbor also to Beacon Rock State Park. Fabio just bought over 500
really?
Acres
really?
adjacent to Skamania Lodge and just east of Beacon Rock State Park. So,
the man with the long, luscious locks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
what
right.
was it that he used to shill? Was it? I can't believe it's not
butter.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't watch enough television.
Apparently, or I watch too much is the problem.
But Fabio lives in Skamania County.
He just moved up there and bought some land, and so there's been Fabio sightings.
Wow.
And at the state park, actually.
Really?
The state park manager today was saying that they had to do some time or spend some time with Fabio explaining why he actually needed to pay a day use fee at
oh.
the park.
Oh,
so
I thought you were going to say why he needed to wear a shirt. But yes,
that well, that's too. Included in the day use fee. You either pay the fee or you put on a shirt.
Sir. One of the two. Oh. So yes, and he's probably kind of like except for his head, kind of a hairless Sasquatch in a way. Well, good for him. It's a good place to live.
Yeah, it is. Skamania County is an amazing place. It is. We're on the north shore of the Columbia River and on the west end of the gorge. And, you know, it's got a lot of recreation that really is untouched and untapped by the Portland population, just because people know the 84 corridor and they go to Mount Hood, but there's this unknown, incredible secret areas over on the Washington side. And now you can get to them by bus.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so this is something I learned about too late last year. I've always been a transit nerd, and I have this map that I made of all the interconnecting systems, and where you can go and how far you can get using just a bus. Tell us about the one that you represent. So it's Friends of the Columbia Gorge.
Yep. I'm with Friends of the Columbia River Gorge. I'm the project manager for a visionary project Friends kicked off in 2011 called Gorge Towns to Trails. And it's an effort to create a European style hiking system that would wrap around the Columbia River Gorge, connecting from town to town. So not a backcountry experience. This would be something that you would experience in all over internationally systems in England and Spain and now South Korea, where instead of wearing that big backpack, you go from lodge to lodge and town to town. And in some cases, you're going to be having the opportunity to bicycle. And on the Oregon side, we now have the historic highway that makes those connections and will all the way to the Dalles. But on the Washington side, you have a really narrow highway that is really difficult for bicycles to navigate.
You got that right.
It can be, yes.
Although people are Aaron getting used experience
the,
with that
the
one.
The wider highway is a little bit less, or is a little harder to manage. But that's because it's a freeway.
Right.
Don't bike the freeway.
Bike the freeway. Mm-mm.
He speaks from experience.
Yeah, I accidentally got on the freeway. I missed a turn.
Oh.
It's a long story.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, so we're talking, what is that, the Evergreen Highway? Or it's 14 at that
It's the Highway 14, Highway 14 or Evergreen Highway. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it gets really narrow and there's a lot of traffic and people are looking at all the sites and veering across the lines. And
right.
It's kind of the problem with the Columbia Gorge as well. I think just the Columbia Gorge, the historic highway, because it's also coupled with 84 right there, the people who are on there are looking at the sites. They're way less to be in a hurry and more apt to kind of give bicycles sort of some room.
Right. Absolutely. They're used to that sort of traffic over there.
Yeah.
And going slower.
But not so much on the Washington side.
Not so much on the Washington side. And living in a rural community as Skamania County, public transit is a gift. And,
right.
And something that I think is very unique in the entire Columbia River Gorge right now. In the fact that now you can actually get on a bus and you can pick up the C-Tran, which is the Vancouver-Washington public transit at Park Rose. And you can take that across to the Fisher's Landing. And from Fisher's Landing, that's where you pick up what's called the WET bus, which is West End Transit.
Right. It's a clever acronym.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's got this great little wrap on the bus that makes it look like it's been splashed by water, which we do get quite a bit out there.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so then that takes you directly and starts you at drops from Washougal all the way to Dog Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's stopping at actual destinations because Skamania has operated a bus for a while, largely for, I would imagine, senior citizens doing shopping trips or someone trying to get to work where it's either early in the morning or kind of afternoon rush hour. But the WET bus has an expanded schedule, so you can take that several times a day out towards your favorite hiking destination, somewhere along the Washington side of the gorge. And the bus will drop you off right at your trailhead, right?
That's correct. And it runs on the weekends only from April till September.
Okay.
So, but there are buses that do accommodate if you aren't, they don't have as many runs during the other parts of the season. So in the WET bus, the attempt is to really get people on that transit to trailhead experience.
Yeah.
Something you'd almost experience in a national park. Yeah. And so that you can just carefree, take a bus, and get to trailheads from Steigerwald, Cape Horn. This is a great trail that has a big loop, Beacon Rock State Park. But along the way, it also takes you to lodging. So you can also stop at Skamania Lodge, spend the weekend without a car. And then you also don't have to pay the day passes at these parks and rec sites.
Right, which I don't know if it's changed, but I remember back last time I wanted to do the Hamilton Mountain hike. Is it a year's pass is $30?
Right.
And a day use fee is at least 10?
10.
Yeah.
10.
Which is a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah. And especially if we're talking to people who don't either own their own cars or they have to rent one or something like that, you're already paying, you know, more than you would usually pay to go out and be in woods. And then you're also paying for that car to be stored there when you're in the woods. So you can avoid all that with a little bit of ride on the bus.
Absolutely. And it's really this very slow-paced experience where the bus driver is really familiar, all the ones that I've gotten to experience. And they'll actually talk about the history and when they're going by places.
Oh, that's cool.
It's almost like you're...
almost like a guided tour.
It is. And they'll stop once in a while if you need a picture. They're open to even making those little extra stops. And they also will take requests. So if there's a stop that they're not usually going to stop at, if you call the office or on the way back, you can say, would you pick me up here at this time?
Okay, so you can prearrange for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's really specialized. And it's a grant that was brought to us by the Western Federal Highways Administration. And it's in partnership with Skamania County and then Friends of the Columbia Gorge. So
very cool.
Yeah, and it also allows dogs
Oh, really?
So
on the bus.
On the bus.
Does it have to be a service animal?
It doesn't.
No, it can be any dog.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. So you can get your dog out to the trailhead with you. So if you have a dog, that's really where you want to spend the time with them.
And yeah.
So, but there's also a really other unique piece to the opportunities to do a bicycle tour where you could create a loop and a unique experience where you could take the wet bus out and then you could cross the Bridge of the Gods, which would take you to the Cascade Locks.
Yes.
And then you can catch the Columbia River, the historic Columbia River Highway. And then you can ride that back to the Gresham Transit Center and then take the MAX back into Portland.
This is a good point because there's no way to take the bus on the Oregon side out. I mean, there is a connection that's a little obscure and doesn't run very often. It's like Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I was going to say, it's like maybe twice a week.
But if you want to do it on a weekend, the wet bus can accommodate between, what is it, April and September?
Between April and September.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of the months you want to be out in the gorge when it's not sideways wind and ice storms.
Yeah.
You were mentioning there was some storms over there.
Yeah, we've had some crazy storms out in the Columbia River Gorge. There was a lot of trail damage on the Beacon Rock area. In fact, Beacon Rock, the rock itself, the trail is closed up to the top.
Oh, due to storm damage.
Yeah.
A lot of the trail up to the top of Beacon Rock is, it's not so much trail as like a boardwalk that's been strapped to the side of the rock in some places.
It's a unique experience. And if you have any vertigo, It's like a ride.
It's a roller coaster ride of fun. Yeah. Should people, if people want to bring their bicycles out there, should they be worried about space? Like what if there's two bikes on the rack in front already? Is that curtains for anybody else who shows up with a bike?
No, they actually have, there's a rack on the front and there's a rack on the back.
Ah.
No kidding.
So they actually have double capacity.
Okay.
So there's, and it's, you know, this is a service that's really trying to get off the ground and the word out. So this is a great opportunity to be on the show today and to be able to share this opportunity. Last year, Willamette Week did an article called The Boot Bus. And I thought that was a perfect, but I also think it's a cycle bus and it's not just for people walking and bus to the trails. There's another opportunity too, where you can actually take the Portland Spirit jet boat up to Cascade Locks and it accommodates 5 bicycles. It's got a bike rack for 5 bikes.
I've not heard about this.
Yeah, it's new. And so you can either then bike back on the Oregon or Washington side. Or you can cross over and then spend the weekend in Stevenson or Cascade Locks.
Sure, right. Yeah.
So, and then bicycle from there all over those systems that they've got, too.
Yeah. Is there any good mountain biking access out in the Skamania portion of the gorge?
There's really not a lot of mountain biking yet. But Cascade Locks is definitely in the process of planning for a mountain bike trail that will go from Cascade Locks to Wyeth.
Oh, really?
And that would be about a 26-mile mountain bike
trail.
That's
cool.
That would be brand new.
And both sides of the gorge are very close to a lot of public lands, like forests and that sort of thing. So if you can boot your way over some hills, there's some forest to be had.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Larch Mountain system in that area. But, there is stuff to be had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that the Larch Mountain on the Washington side?
On the Oregon side.
On the Oregon side. Because I think there's a Larch Mountain in Washington, too, right?
There is. There is. It's so good. And they're right across the river from each other. You can see them from each other.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the reasons that I don't go out in the woods as much as I want to is because I don't own a car. And for a lot of people, you know, I think there's a lot of folks that would go out in the woods if they knew there was a way.
Sure.
So we're telling you now, if you're in Portland between April and September,
there is a way.
Here we go. If you're in Portland or surrounding areas between April and September, you can hop on the C-Tran bus. It's line 65 from Park Rose. You can take the MAX there. And you can take that across the river. Then you can catch the wet bus. You can catch the wet bus back. You can take the line 65 from Fisher's Landing to Park Rose. Get back on the MAX and go to wherever you need to go. It's a thing that can be done. So this is the sort of thing. I feel like more people need to be outdoors. It's a thing that culture is increasingly urbanized. And so the more we spend time in cities, the more we hate humanity, and the more we need a break. And when you go out in the woods, it's like a reset button. When you're in the woods, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about life, and you can bring that peace, that sense of tranquility. If you've centered yourself in the woods, you can come back to the urban experience and appreciate it much better, I think. It's why I like to go bicycle touring. It's why I like to go hiking when I can. So That's very cool. Renee, how did you get involved with Friends of the Columbia Gorge?
You know, I moved out to Skamania County over 10 years ago, and I moved to an area what is now called the Cape Horn area. And
beautiful views there.
Beautiful views. And I had a business where I wanted to donate back to the community, and I found Friends of the Columbia Gorge. And when I called up, the executive director actually was – I was put through to Kevin Gorman, the RED, and he said, did you know that you live near a trail that's trying to happen? And it wasn't official at that point. And that was the Cape Horn Trail. And so immediately I got involved, and I brought a community group, and then they ended up hiring me.
Very nice. Very nice.
And here I am.
What's that trail like?
Oh, my God. And
you mentioned it's a loop.
It's a loop. The loop is closed as of today. Today's the first day that the lower half is closed to accommodate the falcons and their honeymooning phase right now.
Oh, cool.
So to let them close
off
their thing.
Yeah, they close off the loop to let nature happen.
Exactly.
You don't want to intrude on a bird engaging in a metaphor.
With some bees.
That's right.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so that's one of the stops on the wet bus, mm-hmm. and so you can take the bus. It's one of the first stops in – well, it is the first stop in Skamania County. So it's an eight-mile loop. It's a great hike. It's about a four-hour hike if you take your time. But if you just do the top half, which you can do now till July, it's also an amazing for the views and quick to access.
Yeah. So you mentioned Hamilton Mountain. You mentioned Cape Horn. What else? I know Dog Mountain. Is that the outer reach of the bus right now?
That is. And in fact, Dog Mountain, and one of the things that is really coming to light in the gorge is that people are coming not just during the summer months like they used to. The gorge used to be pretty quiet during the winter months, but that's not happening. And the trailheads are packed.
Really?
Year round. I was out in the gorge last weekend, and pretty much every trailhead had a bunch of cars at it.
Right. To the point where maybe you can't find a place to park,
exactly.
Or it's difficult to find a place to safely abandon your vehicle.
Exactly. So the gorge as a whole is really regionally talking about what are we going to do as Portland and Vancouver grows in population.
Right.
And the demand for more is going to happen for this sort of recreation and this outlet to fill your soul with nature.
Mm-hmm.
The wet bus is really a model that the gorge regionally is looking at to one day maybe this might happen some way gorge-wide. And it might be the idea that we might be looking to a national park system model where maybe it's only transit to trailhead at some point.
Yeah.
I say dream big, drink big too.
Well, it should be mentioned that there are several great breweries. Carson is home to at least three now, I know.
The Skamania County. And that we've got a program now that has been so popular called Trails to Ales.
Yes.
And then Wiking, which is wine and hiking.
There we go. Which one comes first?
I like the Trails to Ales mostly. That seems to be a West Gorge.
Would you drink wine and then hike, or would it be the other way around?
Oh, I think you got to drink it after.
Okay. Depends on what kind of hike you want to have.
Yeah.
Right. But you're also not, if you're taking this bus, you're not required to be behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Exactly.
Which means you can enjoy that stuff.
Absolutely. Walking Man's in Stevenson, right by one of the bus stops.
Opens at 3 p.m.
That's right.
It's a good time to know. Many times I've showed up there too early and had to wait for an hour before I could get my beer.
Exactly. I know. And Thunder Island and Cascade Locks.
That's right.
Those guys are a huge bicycle-friendly business.
Yes.
And way behind the bicycle tourism component that's happening out there.
Yeah.
And then Backwoods Brewing, of course, in Carson.
Right.
And that is also another bus stop. So you can truly, you could do a pub crawl on public transit.
On public transit through the gorge.
Through the gorge.
Yeah.
And then go hiking.
And again, I mean, there are some camping options too. So depending on kind of what there's lodging, there's camping. Mm-hmm. There are many ways to make things fun.
Yeah, whether as expensive or as affordable as you want. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's a nice looking campground in just outside of Carson. I guess, is it Wind River? I'm sorry.
Bicycling distance, Panther Creek would be a great ride up the Wind River Highway.
That's right, yeah.
And then there's a slew of other campgrounds right along the Wind River that you could continue. And it's a very safe highway to actually, with a good shoulder on it for
bicycling.
Definitely,
yeah. And if people are willing to put, like, a little bit of work in. I'm not going to say it's easy, but if you go into the National Forest, Gifford Pinchot,
yes,
like you were saying about the gorge in general, mm-hmm, very undiscovered. Like, there's not a lot of people out there. And, of course, now that everyone hears us saying this, it's going to be full of podcast listeners crawling over each other, yes, for a campsite. But
we're to blame for the Portland creep.
But it's a big, big forest. There's a lot of places to go out there. Mm-hmm. And, again, with a little work, you can get into a pretty remote area pretty easily. So,
absolutely.
This is just one thing that makes that much closer, that much more attainable.
Exactly. I wanted to bring up, too, with the Dog Mountain, there's going to be an additional shuttle bus that will actually only accommodate Dog Mountain because of that congestion that I was talking about.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So like a Dog Mountain Express.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
So, and it will originate in Stevenson. So
okay,
you would just have to get to Stevenson, and then from April through June, those months where the parking lot is packed and in unsafe places, you can take a shuttle now from Stevenson.
Oh, that's so
near
great.
Walking Man. And
there you go.
I just think, like, I haven't done much biking on the Washington side, but on the Oregon side of the gorge, there's, you talk about people parking in unsafe places. There are so many times where, and of course, like, you don't know that the parking lot is going to be full when you go out there. And so you're like, well, I got to put this car somewhere.
Right. I rented it.
Right. I rented this car.
A Zip car don't come for free.
Right. Right. And you want to see the sights. So there's a lot of cars, especially during the peak times, mm-hmm, that are parked to the side of the road, or sometimes not all the way to the side of the road,
right,
or somewhere where there isn't even a shoulder, and it's dangerous not just for those biking through, but for other cars, and even sometimes the trucks that have to go through, you know, mm-hmm, for shipping or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and it's definitely on forefront on everyone's mind right now in the gorge.
Yeah, road safety.
Yep, exactly.
And speaking of trucks, I know that recently they changed something on the Bridge of the Gods. It used to be a place where a lot of freight would cross, and I don't think they let that happen anymore.
They do not let freight across there anymore.
Which means that there's a lot more truck traffic on the 14.
Correct.
Which is not the death knell to bicycling on Highway 14. You can still do it. But if that's a concern, the bus will help you out.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, there's another piece of the project with Gorge Township Trails is to create a separate pedestrian multimodal bridge alongside of the Bridge of the Gods.
Really?
So it would be a
Bridge of the Demigods.
I love that. That's going in the idea bucket for naming.
That would be nice, though, because anyone who's done that, you're like, it's kind of fun if you like heights. It's not so much fun if you don't like heights.
Ugh. You can see through
Aaron,
to the river.
You don't like heights,
no,
right?
No, yeah. I've crossed it, what, like?
At least twice. Three times?
I got to say, it's even more than that.
Yeah. The toll is back, by the way. You have to pay as a bicyclist.
Oh, really?
Again. Used mm-hmm. to be it was free.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's posted every time.
It's always
it
been
was posted. Yeah.
I
and
think
every
now
time I've
yeah.
crossed, they've just kind of been like, eh, just go.
Right. I remember the first time that I was charged, I was
down,
very
huh?
surprised. And I think I was, I may not have curried favor by just like, I can go, right? So.
Well, that's why they made you pay.
Right.
Like, you got to at least pretend to, like, you know, go for your wallet or whatever. It's
right,
like,
right.
It's like when you're having dinner with a group of people, you know, and you're pretty sure the other guy's going to pay.
The check's there, though, and you're like, okay, I'll get my card
out. You
got
to at least, like, lean over like you're going to go for that wallet in your back pocket, which isn't there.
Just practice that. Practice that particular shift of posture, really, you know.
It's a question of protocol and decorum, really.
Yeah, which usually prompts I got this.
Right. If you just cross the Bridge of the Gods, yes, they're going to make you pay. But if you, like, you're like, okay, so how much do I? Oh, I can go. Great, thanks.
Right, right.
Well, we call it the wild phenomenon, you know, with the book Wild that Cheryl Strayed wrote. It's made Bridge of the Gods now this
crazy busy.
For you've got to stop and get your photo on it. You know,
so iconic, yeah.
And so the pedestrian, mostly the pedestrian traffic has increased quite a bit.
And that's not a bridge that was built with pedestrians in mind.
No.
Or bicyclists for that matter. Or any other mode of transport. Certainly not a longboard. So. If people are visiting Skamania County, what's a good way to be a good guest in Skamania County?
Oh.
Don't shoot Sasquatch, number one.
First off, yes, Sasquatch is protected in our county. You know, there's a big campaign right now of recreate with respect or be a gorge hero and leaving it a better place than when you got there. You know, how often, even today, it just rubs me so wrong when I'm hiking up the trail and there's those doggy poop bags along the way. Like, why do they leave them?
Why bother bagging it?
Why bag it?
Right.
Well, erosion, of actually,
erosion. I was going to say, like, you're actually erosion. Doing more harm by bagging it than you would if you just left it, like, bag it and take it with you.
Exactly. Or just, yeah, it just kills me. So, you know, that's something as living out in the Columbia River Gorge, and we've got more people out on those public lands, is just being that, you know, that leader in terms of not leaving that doggy litter bag and not, you know, crossing trails. And the other big piece is not just leaving a boot print or a cycle print behind, but an economic footprint. These communities really thrive now in a changing economy on tourism. And so oftentimes I think folks from Portland and Vancouver would go out, recreate, and then go back and spend money in their communities. But we've got some great places out there that would love to be, you know, host of recreation.
Spend your money there,
spend
people.
Spend your money.
Drop some money on Skamania County.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like that old rule when you go into a bike shop, you should buy at least one thing.
Don't just look at the bikes for an hour and then leave.
Right. If you talk to somebody in the bike shop, then you definitely should buy something there.
Right. Or at least tip them.
Yeah. Just put some.
Thanks for your time.
Can you imagine a bike shop with a tip jar by the?
Well, I think isn't it good? It's good manners to tip your bike mechanic, right?
I don't know. I am my bike mechanic, so I don't know.
You should be tipping yourself. Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, so you go into the gorge, you go into, like, you know, the general store or whatever,
right?
You know, in somewhere in Skamania County, like, don't just look around and go like, oh, how quaint, and go home.
Right. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it depends on your financial situation too, because true. Like if you can't afford to buy a beer,
you probably should not be
buying beers. Yeah.
That's true.
But no, just like if you, you know, obviously financial constraints are one thing, but if you're going to be buying beer, don't buy it in Portland and bring it along with you. Buy it in the communities, because there's some damn good beer out there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
We've got 18 now, I think. Beers in the Gorge now is...
Is it up to 18?
Yeah,
okay.
18. Wow. And now we have a cider association and a wine growers association and soon probably a cannabis association.
There we go. Is that controversial?
You know, it's not anymore.
Right. It's legal in Washington State.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. North Bonneville, the city of North Bonneville actually has a city-run nonprofit cannabis store now.
Really?
Oh,
I have some friends that live out there. I'm not eligible, of course, because I have a commercial driver's license, but that is interesting.
It is really interesting.
I have some friends who would be interested.
Yep, It's they're right now, Travel Oregon has brought a program to the Gorge called Gorge Tourism Summit. And typically they don't cross borders, but they are crossing the border.
In your case, they'll make an exception.
They're making an exception to bring
there.
Washington. Yeah.
But for other reasons as well.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Absolutely. As a region, you know, we are now really coming together. It's not just two states, 13 urban areas.
Right.
We're one gorge. I keep
Cascadia.
Saying. Gorge Nation.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and there's also, I mean, other things that are interesting out there are the museum in Skamania
absolutely
is one thing.
The Interpretive Center is fantastic.
Yeah, because there's a ton of amazing artifacts and pictures and history of various things that are related to the history of the gorge.
Yeah,
that could be a day in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a great way to come and learn about not only just Skamania County but the region, and it's actually got one of the largest rosary collections in the
it
world.
It does. Right. Yeah, there's a ton of rosary beads in those glass cases up there.
That's just one, but that's mostly it really does
such
an tell
interesting
a story
thing
of that
to
area.
Like collect.
Well, yeah, it was one the patriarch whose name I've forgotten was very devout, and so he had
the
largest
collection
in the world
of rosaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And donated so interesting to the county. But you know, there's also Skamania Lodge has a Forest Service office out of there, and they do a bird show during the summer months.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's pretty fantastic with raptors, and so it's kind of a nice stop if you want to take the wet bus. It'll drop you off at Skamania Lodge, so you can actually
oh, cool.
go and watch that for free.
There we go.
And then in the summer, there's tons of these great swimming holes to get to along mm-hmm. the Columbia River also.
Downtown Stevenson, right on the waterfront, there's a great waterfront there. It's a great place for windsurfing if that's your thing.
Yeah.
Although it'd be difficult to bring onto a bus. But I would imagine there are outfitters there that would also hook you up if you wanted to go and try that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many things to do in the gorge. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And it's so biodiverse. There's so many, like, just because the elevation changes and the various canyons and fissures in the rock. And I know it's on the Oregon side, but I believe Oneonta Gorge is home to some species that are unique to Oneonta Gorge because it's such a unique environment. Yeah.
Right.
And I would venture a guess that you probably would find other mosses and lichens in various places that only exist there in the form that you find them there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, with the river being one of the only rivers in the world to cut through a mountain range.
Right.
It creates this incredible diversity.
It's quite unique.
Yeah, in a half hour. Like this weekend when it was pouring rain over here on the west side, I was over on the East Gorge in 50 degrees sunshine.
Yeah.
And soaking up sun, you know, as I posted my photos on Twitter and Instagram, people were like, where are you?
Yeah.
I'm not that far, 64 miles east of Portland. So.
And the bus doesn't go out this far, but just north of the Dalles, you can see it. There's a very marked change where the strata is all tilted and kind of at a diagonal. You can see where the trees end and where the desert begins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very marked it's like it's green on one side of this line and brown on the other side.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. It's beautiful. So,
mm-hmm.
The wet bus would be a great way for people to launch a tour into farther parts east as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And on our website, Friends of the Columbia Gorge, we actually have a hike by bus itinerary. So one of the things that we were finding was that it was a pretty hard schedule to navigate between Portland and across the river. So we put together itineraries for the trailheads that the bus stops at. So you know exactly what time to catch the bus to get out there, how long you can spend, and then to return so that you actually make the bus.
You know that you'll make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what would someone do if they missed the last bus out? What are their options besides setting up camp? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Uber goes that far.
I'm sure they do.
They'll go where the money is.
This is true.
I'm tempted to create a new Google Voice number that I could give out to people and just be like, let me know and I'll find you an option.
I'll see what I can do for you.
but yeah, I'm sure car sharing would be one thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. They're, you know, and we're, you know, out there, we're used to people coming out and recreating and enjoying the land. So often if I've seen people, you know, that are either at a car broken down or something's going on in a trailhead, we're pretty friendly out there in terms
Don't
be afraid to ask a local.
A yeah,
and thumb a ride back, for sure.
The banjo music is prettier than you'd think. I kid. Just because there's that, what was it in Lolo Pass towards Montana?
Yes.
In Idaho. There was the lodge up there sold a sticker that said, bike faster, I hear banjo music.
Right.
But yeah. Is there anything else people should know about Skamania County and the wet bus?
Oh, gosh. I think we covered almost all of it.
And do you have a favorite hike?
I do. The Cape Horn Trail is really my most favorite. It's between the elevation and the differences in the topography and the views. The wildflowers in May are outstanding.
Yes.
So if you can get out there May-ish, it's drop-dead gorgeous in fields of, you know, chest high wildflowers. So
that's
a treat.
That is cool.
Yeah. Excellent. And we'll have links on our website. Is there a good address people should remember to find the website for your service?
It would be gorgefriends.org.
There we go.
Yep.
Excellent.
That's it.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much,
Renee,
for having
me. Renee,
do
you have time to join us for our mail-in news?
Oh, sure.
Excellent. All right. We'll jump right into that now then.
Let's do this.
All right.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the day light.
Ooh, first up, Humanity on Wheels number 3.
We mentioned it last week. We'll mention it again. And we're talking about public transit. So if you like public transit, and if you're listening to this episode, there's a chance you do. There's also the event where they're telling stories about public transit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you written your story yet?
No. I'm a slacker. I forgot. I forgot until now that I said
that
I would.
That you committed to it?
Yeah. Renee, have you heard about this?
I haven't.
TriMet Diaries is a website that they share stories about things that happen on public transit here in Portland most often. And they're doing a live storytelling series.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Or it's the third installment in a series, yes. Which it's been 2 years since the last one or three. It's been a while.
It was like one of my first episodes as co-host.
So,
probably closer to three now.
Yeah. Jack London Bar. It's just down below the Rialto Pool Rim in downtown Portland, Oregon. And it's at, was it 7 o'clock?
7
Doors
PM,
open at 7.
4,
show
5,
at 7:30. Yeah. And it's a collaboration between TriMet Diaries and Kick-Ass Oregon History. Both are people we like.
Yes.
And they're both coming in at some point.
While you're
in
not
April.
Here.
They're coming in April, which is a month in which you could catch the wet bus in Skamania County.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, download that episode. Go catch the wet bus.
That's right.
And then
yeah.
come back. And listen to and watch Humanity on Wheels.
That's right, yeah. And with any luck, we're going to be taping this. But there's no guarantees, so you should go to the live event.
Yeah, I think it... Well, and it took us a while to get the last one out anyways. So,
technical difficulties.
By that time, it's all going to be old news. You might as well just watch it live.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to hear about it on Twitter first.
Do it live!
Yes.
Next up, Microcosm Publishing turns 20. Fabulous local punk startup celebrates the anniversary on February 12th at 5 p.m. at VeloCult.
5 to 10.
Joe Beal gives a reading at Powell's Books on February 11th at 7:30. That's Powell's Books Hawthorne.
Powell's Books Hawthorne, yep. And again, congratulations to Joe Beal and his crew at Microcosm and all those who have been part of the crew over the years for a fantastic little independent...
Try it again.
A fantastic Market. Independent publishing house.
Did you read much of Good Trouble yet?
No.
That's all right.
It's on our coffee table.
Yeah. I had to force myself to put it down because I knew if I started reading, like I got halfway into the first chapter.
Oh, you should read the whole thing.
Well, I've got other Microcosm books
on. I have, Renee, have you heard of, David James Duncan, who wrote... The Brothers K and the River Y.
Oh, gosh.
And other things.
Yes, because I'm a former fly fishing guide.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, my gosh. Those are stories.
Right.
Best stories.
So I'm in the middle of The Brothers K right now. Oh. It's not as long as The Brothers Karamazov, but it's definitely a long, long book.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it's like a multi-generational family epic. And so I think I need to finish that before I read Good Trouble, or I need to set that aside and read Good Trouble now.
It's The Brothers K. I've read that.
Yeah.
It's about as long as... About where you stop reading The Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah, and it's full of fabulously described baseball. I don't really follow sports at all, and it made baseball compelling for me.
Yes, I was very fascinated with baseball for like the next couple months after I read that book.
And it's set in Camas and Washougal, Washington. So
That's right
there where the wet bus goes through.
That's right.
Yeah. So
from April till September.
That's right. I'm going to pop open one of these dogfish right here. Thank you, Renee.
Oh, of course.
Lastly, from Momentum Magazine, via Peanut Butter Jar Matt, South Dakota is fighting with Missouri over the dumbest cycling laws.
Oh, my goodness. The Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA is the best IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. This is so good. Yes. But, yes, they're fighting over the dumbest cycling laws.
I was at work. It was my last day at that job.
You retired.
When this came through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I might go back during the summer.
You might come out of retirement at some point.
They'll never let me leave. I shared this with one of my coworkers who also bikes.
Right.
She was flabbergasted.
Right.
This is somebody who's rather passive, and I couldn't believe like the amount of what do I want to say, like righteous indignation that was coming out of this woman.
So to just remind people, Missouri wants bicyclists to carry a 15-foot flag,
that's,
like a flagpole.
That's, no, Yeah, that's where I'm foggy. Like, is it that the pole has to be 15 feet high?
The pole has to be 15 feet high.
Or does the flag have to be 15 feet long?
That would be interesting. But I know the pole has to be 15 feet high. Right. It's a ridiculous proposition.
I think I remember having one of these as a child when I had my training wheels on.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There's some trailers that come with them, you know, right. If you've got your kid or whatever, it's a good idea to have.
If you're that close to the ground, 15 feet makes sense. But if you're a grown ass adult, 15 feet is ridiculous.
A little
Why
bit.
Would you? And yeah. So anyways, there's that. But
that's
then,
taller than my bike is long, by the way.
Yes.
By, like twice.
Right. It's taller than my tall bike is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a double tall bike and it's not, that would be taller than that.
You got to mount the 15 foot
feet
pole
on top
on
of
top
8
of,
feet.
Yes.
Yes. Ridiculous. It's all BS. So the other law, South Dakota, wants bicyclists to dismount for passing traffic.
Wow. Yes.
So if you're on a road and there's no place for you to go, say there's no shoulder, it's you and 8 feet of macadam in a lane.
This
and
is
two
where
lines.
My coworkers started really getting indignant about
and
all
a car shows up behind you. The law would require you under this proposed bill to get off of your bicycle.
Pull over to the side of the road.
Pull over to the side. As
like
soon as someone comes
shoulder.
Behind you.
Yeah.
Pull off of the road, dismount, and allow that car to pass. Yeah. Then you get back on, you're riding down the road, and 2 minutes later, another car shows up. Right. You have to get off of your bike, step aside, let that car pass. You're just See, about to get back onto your
like...
bike. When the third car shows up, you have to get back off of your bicycle and let the damn car go past.
Okay.
This doesn't make any freaking sense, people.
Here, what if...
Can you tell I'm angry about this?
Yeah. No, this is great. What if you're coming up to a construction site, you know, where they, like, close off one lane?
Uh-huh.
And you have the little sign person
like
with
a flagger.
The slow... Yeah, flagger. Mm-hmm. So you're the only one. There's nobody there. But the flagger has a stop, so you're waiting. And then while you're waiting... You've got a line of 15 cars behind you. Now you have to what? Wait?
You have to get off and 15 let,
yes.
times.
Or just wait till all of these go. Well, by that time, the flagger's going to turn their little flag to
That's
back
right.
to stop.
You might never get through.
So, exactly.
You might never get through.
This is absurd, South Dakota.
Well, and let's
this
say,
is absurd.
If you're trying to ride from South Dakota to Missouri, can you do that? Are they contiguous states?
They don't connect, but you
okay.
could go south from South Dakota through Iowa?
Kansas? I don't know. I'm just thinking, if you already have a 15-foot pole on your bike, dismounting and mounting is going to be even more difficult. So it depends on which direction you're coming from.
That's true.
But this is
and
absurd.
And this also, this law
this
also
is
assumes that there's a shoulder.
Does it?
Well, yeah, it says you have to pull over to the shoulder and let cars pass.
Perhaps the unpaved shoulder.
Or,
like into
or
the
whatever,
sagebrush.
But I mean, what if there's just a guardrail? What if
pull
you're
over
on a,
onto
what
the
if
guardrail.
You're on a bridge as you're going across?
This then you is, have to swim.
This is one thing that my coworker...
You have to hang yeah. your bicycle over the
she
edge.
She said so that you have to throw your bike off into the river and dive in after it.
That's what they want you to do anyways. It's all part of a big master plan.
Look, I wanted to bike through South Dakota, but...
But fuck that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You guys, you don't get my tourism money now.
Yeah.
All those ducats I have.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, you're keeping those ducats to yourself.
Yeah, I'm keeping them to myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend them on the wet bus.
That's right.
Yay!
We don't have any ducats, but you know what we do have?
What do we have?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
That's growing on me again.
Oh, good. That's our own Aaron Flores.
Johnny...
Ladies and gentlemen.
First up, Johnny K. made us a Roku channel.
That's right. And since neither of us watches television, we're not quite sure exactly what that does, but I think it allows you, like he said, what's his quote?
Well, I hope you don't shoot me, but I listen to your podcast through my television.
Even if it was possible for us to shoot you from here, Johnny K., we would not.
We would not.
You're a national treasure.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now you're a Roku treasure.
You could even watch National Treasure on Roku after you listen to the Sprocket podcast. Thank you, Johnny K. Yes.
Yeah, so I think we should share this link on our site. And
I think we will.
Any of our listeners, if you happen to have a Roku and you so desire to listen to us on your television
That's right. Stream
set,
the podcast on your TV. We won't shoot you.
I don't even own a gun.
Yep.
Some of my best friends are Rokus.
Some of my best friends are guns. Wait, did I say that?
Next up, Sebastian loved Nathan's ripping yarn about California travel.
He called it a ripping yarn.
A ripping yarn.
That's when Nathan got ripped off. And all he was left with was the yarn he was wearing.
Yeah, that's true.
Bicycle stolen. But it was before it was stolen, he went through Weed, California.
He went through Weed, and it made Sebastian think of this picture.
Classic picture. Classic. Hold this up so you can see this, yes. Renee. It's a street sign saying, careful with the cables there.
College this way, weed that way.
Yes. And the stymied fellow in front saying, which one should I choose?
Oh, come on. You know you can choose both.
That's what college is all about.
That's right.
There's a college in weed.
I can't believe they're
weed.
In opposite directions,
you can
honestly.
You can be in Weed, California and go to college. Yes.
Also, Scott liked our Fuck California outro, which was more, and he was more offended that we forgot he lived there.
Yeah, sorry, we forgot to identify Scott as a bona fide Californian.
That was my favorite interpreted end credits theme. I'll try not to take it personally that I was left off the list of Californians accepted from it.
I hope that no one else was offended by that. As everyone
I haven't
knows,
heard anything about
we only
it.
Hate your bicycle thieves and your corporate structures.
That's right.
And your lack of water.
Mm. And your police.
Okay.
I guess that's part of the corporate structure. Oh, did I say that?
Oh. It's true. So.
Next up, Eric Iverson. I'm obviously on board for a King of Division ride to Oxbow Park.
Renee, I don't know if you know, but this is, in fact, Aaron Flores, the King of Division.
The King of Division Street. And... yes, I even wrote it today.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. I have not ridden on your street
all
in some
the way
time.
From the 205 path down to here.
But that's because I'm the dean of Duke Street.
There you go.
Yeah.
Royalty in my name.
That's mind. Right.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. So yeah, that was so just talking about, hey, if there's a Pedalpalooza event where you ride the length of Division from here to Oxbow Park and back again,
it's going to happen.
Let's do
it's
it.
It's got to happen now.
Right, right.
How great would it be that we have Eric Iverson in the
grill
bike
crew
team
yeah.
with us?
I should point out that you're not allowed to drink alcohol in Metro-owned parks.
Which Oxbow
the Tri-County.
Is.
Oxbow is a Metro-owned park.
Good
I don't know how that applies to the high water line of the Sandy River, however. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not encouraging you to do something. We would never encourage someone to break the law or do something that violated their own personal morals.
So
that being said, I think the high water line means something. I don't know what that is. I'll leave that to you to figure out.
It's Switzerland.
Yes.
So we need to go at low tide? Is
I have
it?
A Sandy River guard protecting me, yes. I keep all of my money in the Sandy River's banks.
Lastly, Josh G. says, do you see my comment or did you see my comment about a Chinese bike racing movie? To the Four.
And
he sent us a link to it. Totally worth a commentary.
I think we're going to have to do that. I said the next major holiday, whatever that happens to be. What counts as a major holiday?
I was going to say, does Valentine's Day count?
And does it? Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. President's Day. My grandpa's birthday.
There you go.
All the same weekend.
Your grandpa's birthday, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the 15th.
No.
It's going to be 87.
Do we have the same grandpa?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. That
that'd
would be a, pretty impossible.
That'd be a shock.
But yes, my grandfather.
But I'd be
birthday.
Happy to learn that you and I were long estranged cousins.
This would explain so much.
Yes.
Both about us and my grandfather. No, right. I'm just kidding. I love you, Grandpa.
Aww.
From beyond the grave. That got dark. Okay. That's it. Let's go.
That's a wrap.
Home.
That's a show. Well, every time we wrap up the show, Renee, we choose a theme. To interpret our credits through. So what sort of overarching theme should we give this week's credits?
Ooh, like a music theme?
Or some kind of aesthetic or...
Sometimes we do cartoonish voices. It depends on what you have in mind. What would you make us do that, like, would make us appear
maybe
to be foolish?
Maybe since we started with Sasquatch, Harry and the Hendersons.
I don't know how that would work out.
What, should we just,
I don't know
should
how
we vocalize
gonna,
Sasquatch then?
I don't know how we're going to read our credits vocalizing Sasquatch here.
I know. I think of Chewbacca or something.
What if one of us is reading the credit line and the other one is making some sort of Sasquatch vocalization?
All right. Are
in
we
going
to have to paper, scissors, rock for this?
No. That means that, like, I read the ones I usually read and you vocalize in the background.
Okay.
Just away from the mic.
Okay.
And then we'll switch places. Does that work?
I think so.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Can I bang a stick on the wall?
Renee, would you be our squatch stick banger?
Sure. I'm definitely do that.
Excellent.
Don't worry. There's no one else in these offices.
What are they doing in there?
All right.
You got the music, though. Right?
I just assume that's the question on everyone's mind every week when we're here.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, you know, we're just talking. I'm sure they don't hear the talking, but they definitely will hear us laughing.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, we've learned to close the door, at least.
We've at least gotten that far.
Okay. You ready for this?
I think so.
So who goes first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Sounds good. You Rochambeau'd with yourself.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Scissors always win.
Okay. Dang it. I chose right. Rock.
Here it comes.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 503-847-9774.
Twitter at sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wisinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller,
Dodd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Nose, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna Chris Iskukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zissen, and Richard G.
Guthrie Straw.
Now brush your teeth.
And go to bed.
But don't sleep too well.
Far away.
Right.